You're listening to the Haunting of Bly Manor After Show by Horror Movie Talk.
Governor, and welcome to Horror Movie Talk special, the Haunting of Bly Manor after show.
So welcome. Yep, we're gonna do all of Bly Manor covered by Horror Movie Talk. On a normal episode, we would review and discuss one horror movie in detail, but for this series of 10 episodes, we will be having an opinionated and accidentally funny discussion on each episode of The Haunting of Bly Manor. Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Well, each week. These are going to be released
all together. Yeah.
So for this series are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and Professor David Day, the foremost expert in scare no-nos.
Hello.
So without further ado, The Haunting of Bly Manor After Show with Horror Movie Talk. We've got a great show today. We're going to start it off with episode one. We're going to give a brief synopsis of the episode. And, I mean, for this one, kind of the series, the setup for the series.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll get into spoilers. Don't worry. We'll give you a warning for spoilers. Play a little clip of music.
This is an after show, so basically the whole show is spoilers. You know how it goes.
And we'll take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the episode. Today, like I said, we're going to be talking about episode one. In this opening episode, we are introduced to Danny Clayton, played by Victoria Pedretti, an American who is hired to be an au pair to two perfectly splendid orphan children. They live in a spacious estate in the countryside called, you guessed it, the Hill House. Oh, wait. I meant Bly Manor.
Yeah.
The children's only surviving relative is Uncle Henry, played by Henry Thomas, who hired Danny, but he shows no interest in being involved with them. Flora.
I can't work out what that is exactly. Why does, you know, I mean, and still, I mean, I think I've watched five episodes now, and I still don't really understand why he's so far removed.
Well, just wait till episode six.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
So the two children are Flora, played by Amelie B. Smith, who is a precocious 8-year-old girl, and her 10-year-old brother Miles, played by Benjamin Evan Ainsworth, is in need of structure and discipline.
To say the least.
There are other staff at the Bly Manor, including the cook Owen, played by Rahul Kohli, the housekeeper Hannah, played by Tania Miller, and my children, like apparently rolling bowling balls upstairs. And Jamie, the groundskeeper, played by Amelie. Why am I saying? As Danny gets to know the children and Bly Manor, strange and unsettling things start to happen, and the children begin to act strangely.
Yeah, mostly Miles seems to start acting strangely.
Yeah, but even
Flora, I mean, it's hard with little girls. They're
Flora. It's kind of fucking with Danny. I mean, if you didn't straight off assume that the house was straight up haunted, like,
right,
she would be in on all the jokes,
yeah,
or all the pranks as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's a way to drive someone insane, is to just look at their earlobe.
Just be like,
when you talk to them, just be like,
what are you looking at?
What?
Is something behind me?
Meet my eyes, Jim.
Is there a spider on me? What are you doing?
So, that's the synopsis of episode one.
So with that, let's go ahead and talk about ourselves for a minute. We are Horror Movie Talk Podcast. Like Bryce said at the start of this episode, we normally review one horror movie per week. Our website is horrormovietalk.com. From there, you can find links to all of our social media. And of course, we post new episodes of our normal show every single Wednesday. If you'd like to get a hold of us, leave us a voicemail to be listened to on our normal show posted on Wednesdays. That's, you can call us at 682-253-4468 or 682-253-4HMT. And we'll play that on our one of our movie review episodes. If you'd like to support us, you can do so by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/horrormovietalk, or you can just go to our website and click through the link at the top banner there. And thanks again for listening, and let's get into the spoilers.
Here we go.
Spoilers?
Yeah, spoilers.
Okay, so you might have a lot of questions about what is The Haunting of Bly Manor, because it's...
Bryce, what is The Haunting of Bly Manor?
It's by Mike Flanagan, which did The Haunting of Hill House.
He did.
So it's kind
of... He also did Oculus. He's done a lot of horror stuff.
He's one of the best modern horror directors out there right now. Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep, yeah.
Haunting of Hill House. So this is kind of a sequel to The Haunting of Hill House, but it has its own season.
It definitely is similar in structure, in the episode-to-episode structure of the overall series.
Yeah.
And then it's a kind of a spooky house tale.
Right. Very much around a spooky house. All the characters are kind of family and have interweaving, you know, ghosts in their past kind of thing. Not a lot of the cast from Hill House are in here, but they're scattered throughout. They're not the main players. It's not like an American Horror Story where it's the same cast, just recast into different parts.
Right.
There are a couple notable, and I think this is like a secret that we're not supposed to talk about before the release of the show, is that the narrator is... Shoot. I had it written down. The narrator is Carla Gugino, who was the mother in Hill House.
Right.
Speaking with a British accent. So every American that was in, or every actor that was in Hill House that's in this one, has an accent.
Oh.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I definitely remembered her. I was like, but I couldn't quite, you know, I'm not real great at remembering actors' names.
Yeah, so she was also in Gerald's Game.
She was the
lead in Gerald's Game.
And that was another Mike Flanagan one. Oh my God. And that was spectacular. If you guys haven't seen the movie Gerald's Game, whoo, buckle up.
And so it starts out kind of a... I mean, I'm about 6¼ episodes in, and it does not call back to these opening scenes at all.
No,
it starts with a wedding party, and then they're all sitting around like a fireplace, and Carla Gugino is like, "Hey, I got a haunted house."
She's
story.
Like sad and somber.
Yeah,
you know, she's like, I have a story, if you'd like. And then she mentions the turn of the screw. She says, it's just another turn of the screw.
Yeah, and so that's the other notable thing about this series, is that it is based off of the novella, The Turn of the Screw, by, you know, that guy that wrote The Turn of the Screw.
Yeah.
I mean, James.
I want to know who the PR guy is for The Turn of the Screw, because... Because The Turning is that came out in 2020. That's a Turn of the Screw redo.
This one,
The Lodge, came out in 2020. That's a Turn of the Screw. And this, The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah, I think The Lodge came out in 2008.
It hit the festival circuit in 19, but it hit theaters.
Pretty recent. I mean, it's a pretty great setup for a haunted house story. It's like literally just two kids.
It bums me out a little bit. It bums me out a little bit watching the Bly Manor thing because this is kind of fucked out for me a little bit at this point. I'm like, yeah, I know the turn of the screw. I get it. It's great.
It just has the setup. I don't think there's many parallels between the turn of the screw and this other than the setup and that it's a haunted house. But in terms of like the different characters each having their own like background story and stuff, that's
the overarching structure.
Yeah,
is definitely the turn of the screw.
Right.
Miles is very much Miles from the turn of the screw.
Right.
Those two things and the governess Danny are
right.
They're all
right.
Pretty.
I read the first two chapters of the turn of the screw and it's like, The episode one is the most turn of the screw,
okay,
out of the ones that I've seen. Okay. So it starts out, lots of water shots. There's, you know, a little girl. Let's see, blah 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 blah. Playwing. Anyways, they start saying a poem or singing a song. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, they were singing the song "O Willy Wally."
Willow Wally. And lots of shots of water, like the lake, like the faucet and stuff throughout. Like,
yeah,
it's a
wow.
real emphasis on
that's some, a wet ass pond.
Some wet ass stuff. And it states that this is in Northern California, 2007. Even though everyone that talks is British,
it states
in this wedding party.
Okay. The wedding party. This is pre getting into Bly Manor territory. Yeah, yeah.
And then,
well, you can have a lot of relatives from outside the state.
Sure. Only other thing of note is the fiance in this wedding party is Greg Sestero, which you might recognize from The Room. Oh, hi, Mark. He played Mark. And he's the one that wrote the book about the making of The Room, which is fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, he was... What's the guy's name in the guy in The Room?
Oh, Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau. Yeah, he was Tommy's friend, close friend.
Yeah.
And he's in this.
And but now, basically, his handler.
Right.
It's like, we're going to cash in on being part of this terrible, crazy movie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lead you on the path to make more crazy, terrible movies so that, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he's in it. He has also played the origin story of the Puppet Master guy. I don't know if you knew that.
Wait.
There's in the Puppet Master series.
Yeah.
There's one movie where it tells like the origin story
how the Puppet Master
it's pronounced,
came to be.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Pronounced Toulon.
Yeah, Toulon.
Yeah, André Toulon.
Yeah, so he tells his origin story. That was going to be his big break. Anyways, Carla Gugino like starts telling the story, and she's the narrator throughout. It opens with Danny, the main character, in a job interview for this au pair job out in the countryside, and she's being interviewed by Uncle Henry, played by Henry Thomas.
And he is a terrific drunk, but also a man of seemingly great stature. Like,
yeah.
he's very busy. He's a businessman, you know, but he's also drunk 24/7.
Right.
And he does not suffer bitches.
Right.
Like, if Danny makes a few little faux pas in this meeting with him where she shows how American she is, you know, which is a big faux pas to him. And he's like, Jesus Christ. And, you know, so he makes a big deal about, oh, she's American. But that's kind of the end of that. There's not a whole lot being made of Danny being American in amongst a bunch of British people after that.
Right. Well, I mean,
there's a little bit here and
there. There's a little bit, like, she's terrible at making tea.
Yes.
Making a big deal out of that. And, excuse me. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa, that was so out of character for you.
That was splendidly perfect.
Yeah, perfectly splendid.
So, Yeah, so she has the interview. It doesn't go that well, and then she like kind of confronts him in a bar, and it ends up that he hires her for whatever reason.
Yeah,
and it starts showing like some cracks in Danny, because you get, and this is taken from Turn of the Screw, like it's pretty clear that Danny isn't super stable. Like she's, you would understand if like some of this stuff was in her head, because she seems kind of neurotic. And she talks briefly about how, you know, he asks her why she would want to do this job, which is basically teach two kids.
Yeah, what's the
catch?
What's the catch here? What, you're a young, beautiful girl. Why would you be essentially giving up any kind of social life that you have,
yeah,
in order to go off into the countryside alone and essentially nanny two kids and mm-hmm. teach them? Like,
right,
you're going to be stuck there, and look at you. You're gorgeous. Like, yeah. What's the catch?
Right.
And this actually speaks to the thing that I enjoy the most about this show so far, which is it's really it's a character study about a bunch of very flawed individuals, and you build empathy for each of them, and you begin to really like, this is more than just a spook factory by a long shot. This is really a show. This is really a dramatic show about that takes great effort to make these characters really flawed, but also like your heart goes out to each of them.
Yeah, it's the same thing with The Haunting of Hill House. The great part of it is it's a very emotional story for everyone. Yeah. Like everyone has an emotional core that you care about, other than maybe the villain.
Right.
But even then,
it's understandable.
Everyone's like three-dimensional.
Yeah.
No one's like, well, Peter is kind of two-dimensional.
Yeah.
But he's great. So there's kind of some crack showing, and then she talks about how she was a fourth grade teacher, and it looks like she has shell shock from that. She's like,
she's got
children are children. I just want two. Two sounds good.
Yeah. I would just like to be in charge of two. She's like, do you have any idea? Have you ever been, have you ever taught 25 kids? And she's, and then she gives this like 1,000-yard stare. And he's like, no, I have not. And she's like, in her head, it's like Vietnam going on. It's like, you kind of get this feeling of like, oh, this bitch has seen some shit.
Yeah. So then it cuts to Danny in her car ride towards Bly Manor talking with Owen. And he's kind of like,
Owen is a great character.
Owen is a great character. Owen is the cook, and his kind of backstory is he's got a sick mother in Bly, and he wants to work close to her. He was studying to be a chef in France, and then came back to take care of her. We later find out that she has Alzheimer's.
There's a through line with this, right? Where it's like, well, how did you get stuck at Bly?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Every character is like, well, why are you here? And
right.
With the kids, it's like, well, our parents died, you know?
Right.
So
we live here.
We're stuck here.
Yeah.
With all the help, right? With the au pair, with the groundskeeper, with the cook, and with the housemaid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has this like, why are you here? But in my mind, I'm like,
why wouldn't you want to be here?
Fucking joking me? Like, you get 3 squares a day. You get to live in this big, beautiful, opulent mansion. There's only really the only thing anybody has to worry about is the kids.
Right.
And there's only two of them.
Right.
We outnumber them by two
yeah.
to one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of like seems pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Until, you know, it gets to be nighttime, and then it's right. like, well, okay, maybe.
So Danny is taken by the manor, and she meets Flora, the little girl, and she is like super cute and precocious and like just a delight.
I can't get over this, the actress that plays this little girl. Mm-hmm. She is so adorable in all of her deliveries. And
would you say she's
perfectly splendid?
She's perfectly splendid and so cute. And like, just, it's impressive to me when you get kids she's probably a lot older than she looks, but
no, I think she's age appropriate. Man, like, I'm pretty sure she's 9.
Such a solid actress. Yeah. Like,
I mean, yeah, both of the kids are really good, and really what sells it is, yeah, Flora, the actress playing her, she's got really great diction. Like, yeah, she's very proper, and she's also happens to be the new voice of Peppa Pig.
Oh.
Found out.
Dun 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 dun.
So,
are you eating though? That's Peppa. That's for Peppa, because Peppa loves to eat.
And so Flora takes her on a tour of the grounds, and Miles joins them and basically goes, you know, room to room.
Well, before this though, I would like to point out, so so as they come into, as she's taking the car ride with Owen to Bly Manor, she sees Bly Manor off in the distance, and she says, "Can I get out of the car now? I would like to walk the rest of the way right to the house." And as she does, she comes upon Flora at the pond, and Flora's playing with a little voodoo doll.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's that? And then Flora's like, never mind that. Let's leave that doll next to the lake. And
Danny's like, what a beautiful lake. And Flora's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
You don't want to go
in
that.
It's a horrible place.
It's a terrible, terrible. Let's never talk of the lake again.
And then they go to a well where they meet the housekeeper and
Miles.
Yeah. And the housekeeper is like lost in thought over this well.
She just seems like kind of somewhere else. And she even says as much.
Right, like, right. I'm miles away.
Yeah.
Miles away. Does she catch a glimpse of somebody off in the trees? Or is that just, am I thinking of episode 5? Because in episode
you're thinking of episode 5. Yes. There's no one in the trees yet.
Okay.
So they're taking a tour and like, Flora is describing everything as
perfectly splendid.
It's really adorable. And, you know, the main things you need to know is like all the people that work there, and do not go in the West Wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very like Beauty and the Beast. Like, it's not allowed.
Yeah. And I don't know why you would want to go in the West Wing. Like, everything's covered with sheets. It's dark during the day.
Dude, if I was...
It's pitch black at night.
If I was an 8 or 10-year-old, I would not go anywhere but the West Wing.
Are you joking?
Hell yeah.
Man, you're a ballsy 8 or 10-year-old. I'd be like, nah, nah, hard no.
It's like a...
Now I would. It's the reverse for me. Like, as a kid, I'd been like, no.
No, as a kid, I'd be like, I'm not supposed to go there. That is the most interesting thing in the entire planet. I will go there. Look, it's got weird like sheets over everything. Ugh. Let's see what's under them.
Oh no. As a kid, I'd have been like, hell.
I'd be all over, especially
hell
if it's
to the nah.
If it's my dead parents like room, wouldn't you want to go in there and be like, look at their things and try to reminisce about your parents that you lost?
I don't know. Maybe in another house, but not this house.
Okay. Let's see where we are. Throughout this episode, the first like inkling of like, well, this is a haunted house story is that Danny seems haunted already. Even before
anything happens.
Before she even gets to Bly, it shows her in London in her what's it called? There's a hostel.
Uh-huh.
And she's got like sheets draped over all the mirrors in the room.
Yeah.
And she catches glimpses of this weird, like, Frank Miller-esque, like, dark figure with bright mirror eye lenses kind of thing.
A guy who's kind of, like, hanging around in the... With the man. He's a man, but he's also in the... So to bring it full circle.
Yeah, that's where we start, is with the man in the mirror in terms of haunting.
Uh-huh.
And and then just like as time goes on, stuff is a little off. You know, there's Miles is kind of pervy.
Yeah.
Know?
right from the get-go.
Yeah. He's looking at her through the crack, and he's...
He's like, hey, baby.
He's like...
Can I see one titty?
Gloves are off. Welcome to Horror Movie Talk.
And Flora is like looking off into the middle distance whenever she's talking to Danny. Has really, I mean, it's so great that it's kind of what makes Mike Flanagan great, because he just gets it, and he can do it in different ways. Like, he can be gothic creepy, he can be like straight up, like,
yeah,
you know, terrifying, you know, violence creepy.
Yeah.
And this is like a really interesting tone, because it's
off-putting,
scary, it's very off-putting.
Yes, it's just and it's a thing that kids do constantly. Oh my god. Okay, I have a quick story for you. So we're getting ready to shoot to record this series of podcasts about the after show for The Haunting of Bly Manor. So I watched, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes the first night, and that was 2 nights ago now. And and then I go to bed, and it's like midnight. And, oh man, I'm sitting there in bed, and there's just sound after sound happening. My girl, at midnight, my girl opens her door and then slams it.
I was like,
what the fuck is going on? And like, each one of these things happens, like, as, like, right as I'm, like, chilling. It takes me, like, 20 minutes to come down into a spot where I'm, like, actually falling asleep. And each one of these sounds, so for an hour and a half... There's like these significant sources of like clattering and stuff. And so it's just did not go well for me that first night.
What else? I mean, everyone's kind of acting strange. Hannah, the housekeeper, is acting strange.
Yeah.
Flora's acting strange.
Yeah. The housekeeper's always kind of like lost in thought.
Yeah. At one point, Miles gives Danny this like butterfly hair clip.
He's yes.
Like, I'd like you to wear this.
Oh, dude, that's as soon. So they show her to her room. They show Danny to her room. And then they're like, we'll leave you to freshen up. And so she starts taking off her shirt. And that's the, can I see one titty?
Can I see one titty?
Oh, girl. And right as she's taking off her shirt, he's like, excuse me. And he comes in the room, and she's like, whoa, 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 let's put these away. And he's like, I'd like to offer you this hair clip to make you feel even more welcome. And she's like, thanks. And he's like, no problem.
Put it on now.
Let's see you put it in your hair.
And then she goes, talks with Flora, and Flora notices it and is like really like kind of offended that she's wearing it.
Offended and disturbed.
Yeah. And she like says, you shouldn't be like, why are you wearing that? And
she's asking her to change her ways.
You know, Danny explains that Miles gave it to her, and Flora explains that that was the previous au pair's hair clip thing.
Yeah.
And it's not right for her to wear it. And then Flora stares off to the side behind Danny and is like, oh, okay, never mind. It's okay.
Yeah.
So it's very, very clear that like
a cause and effect thing happened.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it, like some ghost talked to her and was like, no, it's chill.
Right.
She can do that. Like, oh, what? And of course, there's a man in the mirror.
Yeah.
There. Because it's the bathroom. Anywhere there's a mirror, Danny's seeing the man in the mirror.
Yeah. And she keeps covering all the mirrors with stuff. I guess the one thing we didn't mention was that there was an au pair before, about a year ago.
This is us learning about it in this episode. Yeah.
And the au pair died by walking into the lake, I think they said.
Yeah, it's not completely clear. They did say it had something to do with the lake. She drowned.
Yeah.
So.
And so there's a little bit of mystery hanging around. Not only just like what's going on with this house, but also like what's up with these kids and what happened to the former au pair. Lots of other creepy things. There's a creepy dollhouse that's basically a replica of Bly Manor.
Never good when you got a dollhouse.
And Flora's got like a little voodoo doll for every single person.
Very like, very much like the Lodge. I would not surprise me if this existed in the actual The Turn of the Screw.
Yeah. But then there's a creepy doll under the dresser.
Yeah.
Like Danny
oh, goes to move that one. Yeah. Yeah. She goes to move that one and it's like, whoa.
It's like, no,
we don't touch that
she
one.
She stays under the dresser.
And why like, under the dresser, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I'm into episode 7. It still hasn't explained who that is.
Ugh.
And then
it's a dangerous thing.
Danny is told by Flora to do not leave your room at night. Just stay in bed.
Right.
Just stay in bed until the morning.
Yeah. All the way there. No bathroom, no nothing. Just
why? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'm an 8-year-old and I know this house very well. Do not leave your room. So guess what?
First thing she does.
This bitch don't follow rules.
Dude, if I don't know, man. If some little kid with intimate knowledge of this awesomely creepy house was like, just don't get up. Don't get up at night. It's a bad idea, let me tell you. There's a part of me that'd be like, yeah, okay, bitch. And then there's another part of me that'd be like, you better take this kid seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, lots of random shots throughout the series of, like, faucet dripping and, like, it's got a real focus on faucets.
Yeah, it like, does.
It's almost like, I wonder if Mike Flanagan, like, really wanted to be a plumber when he grew up and just decided to, no, I'm better at directing horror movies.
He's like, can we get a close-up of that dripping faucet?
Yeah. And then at some point, I'm pretty sure Flora says outright, don't let the lady in the lake see you.
Yeah.
Like, basically, something about the lady in the lake. And Danny is all,
strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
So she don't care. She's going to do whatever she wants. And then other things that she sees is there's some guy on the balcony all of a sudden in the west wing where no one's supposed to be. And he's just like standing there. Plain as day, looking at her.
Yeah.
And then it has my favorite subtitle in the entire series. In the brackets, it says, Haunting Whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So we watch these ahead of time with a press kit. And in the press kit, you can't turn the subtitles off, which is both a blessing and a curse because it... But I'm very impressed with, like, if you need subtitles, these are some of the best I've ever seen. They are so accurate in this, like, and they're so timely, and there's like even the descriptor text that describes, you know, crescendos in the music and stuff like that are so exquisitely perfectly on point in their descriptions.
This isn't just any whoosh.
No.
It's a haunting whoosh.
Haunting whoosh. Like, yeah, it's very, it's the subtitles in this whole show are on point.
And whenever Danny mentions, like, what she saw, she's met with, like, well, you must be seeing things, you know?
Right.
As if everyone in the mansion doesn't understand that it's a haunted mansion and they've seen, like, real shit go down.
Yeah.
They're like, don't worry about it. Must be seeing things. All right, moving on. Let's have some bangers and mash. Why are they called bangers? Mash makes sense.
You know why.
I mean...
You know why.
Bangers?
You know why.
Because you bang in their dick
shape? They're sausages, yeah. Right?
All right.
I don't know.
Is it that simple?
We have
fans in the UK.
The Herds over
there. Yeah, the Herds Kitty you heard in the very beginning.
Yeah, that's her voice.
You heard the Herds.
Yeah, you heard the Herds. or at least the Herd.
So if you're in the UK, let us know. Why are they called bangers?
Yeah, what's the story there? And why, I mean...
Why not like saucies?
And why fags for cigarettes?
Or dickies.
Right?
Yeah.
In this...
Well, fags makes sense because it's a bundle of sticks, right?
I guess.
So, I don't know. It's if a faggot is a bundle of sticks, is one stick a fag?
I think that's the way the logic works.
Anyways, I don't know if we mentioned the parents died like 2 years before.
Yeah.
And the au pair that died 1 year before, so these kids have seen some shit. At the end of the episode, they're still being super weird, and at the end of the night, Danny's putting them to bed, and then they're like, "Oh, I have a hat box in my closet. Could you go get that for me, Danny?"
Yeah.
I can't even remember what they ask for, but there's something in the closet. And she goes in the closet.
Yeah,
and
I think it's in Flora's closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they slam the door shut and lock her in, and she has like a...
massive panic attack.
Massive panic attack. She sees Mirror Man. She sees...
Oops.
No.
Sorry.
She sees...
The man in the mirror.
Do you have that in Jingle Palette, or are you just like...
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then she gets out, and then there's like dirty footsteps on the floor. It's like just really creepy and unexplained, and it kind of just leaves it hanging.
That panic attack is really intense. Like, that's an intense, like... that's a very claustrophobic moment in this show.
Yeah, it's a good payoff for, like, the amount of anxiety and off-puttingness for the whole episode, to where, like, all right, now it's getting delivered, like, we're panicking now.
Yeah, you're not only are you trapped in the closet, but there's a mirror in there. Uh-huh. It's like being trapped in a closet with a dog. With a rabid dog.
So that's episode one. Really good start, and really like sets the stage for a great series. I'm really excited about covering the whole series. Lots of great episodes, and it focuses on each character. Each character gets their day in the sun, really, for each episode. And this one starts off with Danny, the most important protagonist. All right, thanks for listening. Please, if you like the show, if you're new, give us a subscription and a rating on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out in the charts. If you are a fan of Horror Movie Talk or this new after show, please share it with a friend. If you really want to help out, you can support us by going to our website, horrormovietalk.com. Click on the button in the banner that says buy on Amazon, and you can buy anything. You can even rent movies, or buy dog food. Whatever you're going to do on Amazon, you're stuck in quarantine probably. So if you do that, we get a little taste of it.
Yeah, help us out.
Also, check out our Patreon. There's a link to that. Links to our social media, all that stuff. Special thanks to Dustin Goble. He does the artwork for all our regular episodes, and he also takes commissions. So check him out at dgoble00. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram. Also, special thanks to Max for the intro music, which is fantastic, and Kitty back in jolly old England for giving us our little intro phrase. I thought my accent was pretty good. Like, I really can't tell the difference between her accent and mine when I'm trying to do an English accent.
Yeah, so the very kind, talented young man who made that intro music again is maxwell.r.allen on Instagram, so check him out.
Coolio, check out our other episodes on Horror Movie Talk, where we review actual just standalone horror movies. And if you want to give us a call and leave a voicemail, the number is 682-253-4468. Thank you so much, and we'll see you for episode two.
Bye.
Bye.